Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Uh-oh.
Here's John Williams.
I just said a moment ago, Cleveland was on its way to a win in the sixth inning, winning 3-1. It was 4-1. Now it's 4-2, the Cleveland Indians and the Detroit Tigers. I know that we aren't a baseball station, and neither of those teams are from Chicago, but this is kind of cool because 1935 Chicago Cubs have the 21-game record, and the Cleveland Indians are closing in on it. It really is a remarkable story, and we'll at least follow with box score results for you how the Cleveland and Detroit game is going. Detroit scored 1 in the first. Cleveland scored 3 in the bottom half. They're in Cleveland. Cleveland scored 1 in the bottom of the third, so it was 4-1. But now it's 4-2 with no outs in the top of the sixth. Cleveland Indians are 89-56. They're going for 21 wins in a row. They squeaked by 2-0 last night against Detroit to win their 20th game in a row. So they tied the American League record, 21. Let's see, no, they have the American League record at 21. No, that ties it. 21 will be the record. 21 is also the major league record for the Chicago Cubs in 1935. And this is a maybe some small consolation for the Cleveland Indian fans if they're able to achieve or beat the record that the 1935 Cubs achieved. The 1935 Cubs, they won 21 in a row that year. And so they're closing in on 21 wins today. That would tie them with the Cubs' all-time record. And they will, with this win today, have the American League record. Some people say that the record isn't 20 or 21. It's 27 or 26. In 1916, the New York Giants won 27 in a row. But in the middle of that 27, one of the games ended in a tie. So some people say, all right, throw that out. It's still 26 in a row. Other people say, no, once you hit a tie, then the clock restarts. But Major League Baseball recognizes 26 as the real record, but it's 26 with an asterisk. 21 for the 1935 Cubs, and the Indians will hit 21 wins if they can get past Detroit today. And again, they're up 4-2. And I'll follow that little bit of baseball for you. Nice to see the Cubs swing the bats last night. And it's kind of funny because Kim was saying that you can now go to Cubs.com/postseason if you want to get in line for your Cubs postseason tickets. I don't know what the deal is. It feels this year like we're mad at the Cubs, like there's so much drama may not be the right word, but, you know, we're not exactly flush with love and enjoyment this season after having won the World Series. It's kind of a weird year, isn't it? It would be a weird year under any circumstances if it was going better or if it was going worse. We're not used to...
Only our ancestors have gone through a year like this.
You know, so we... Of course, it's unique, right? But if you would ask me what would it be like the next year, I would say, oh, it'll be a lot of fun. And I think since the expectations are so high and they aren't playing consistently well, it's not as much fun this season as I thought it would be, even as we are in first place.
All right, you got to stop bringing your dog to the games. Can I just say that as a friend?
If you follow me on Twitter, I'm WGN King John. That's my handle, WGN King John on the Twitter. And when we take Bingo, my hunchbacked wiener dog, out for a stroll, you know, he doesn't walk or walk very well. He can barely move. He's all arthritic and hunchbacked and old. But we got the G7 action stroller now with mesh canopy, and we're able to push him around Lakeview and Wrigleyville where we live. So we go to the games and just watch it on the big screen outside the park.
And you bring your dog and then you post it on Instagram. You know, you're going to become a neighborhood character that the kids talk about.
There's that guy again.
There's that old guy pushing his dog. In a stroller.
Well, the line was pretty short to stand in front of the World Series trophy from last year.
Well, do you think people got away from you because you're pushing a dog in a stroller?
It did kind of part as I pulled up, and I said to the guys, I said, hey, can I bring a dog inside here? And the guy said, sure, as long as he doesn't act up. And I said, he doesn't act anything. He's barely alive. So I just picked Bingo out of the G7 action stroller, now with mesh canopy, and I just stood him next to the trophy, put that picture up on the Twitter and the Instagram. So enjoy that. You know, if I had that $1,000 phone, we would even look better. We would even look awesomer. We'll visit with Suzanne Cantra from Techlicious. She follows these sorts of things in a few minutes. Again, I think that there's a new book out about the greatest inventions of the modern age. You know, I feel the seedless watermelon should be on there. I haven't got the book yet. I don't know if it is. But how can you not put the iPhone on there as arguably fire wheel iPhone? No. How does that not get on that list?
Okay, you're kidding, sort of, or exactly.
No, I'm 100% serious.
I put it close to car.
Yeah, sure. Huge.
Less than car.
Airplane is a big one.
It's transformed the way we live. It is transformed. It's been transformative.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sure. But, you know, they both need highways. One's an electronic highway. One's a literal highway. One doesn't exist without some infrastructure to support it. But really, if you said, okay, Steve, you can only have one thing going forward, a phone or a car, which would you pick? That may not be the way to determine if
right.
It's a more important invention or not.
Well, I think I'd go with I guess it depends on where I'd live, obviously. But
because I take the L.
That's not to change subjects, but that's a real problem in Houston, because Houston was built so much for cars.
Yeah.
All their cars are flooded out that people now, they don't have a transportation infrastructure to get anywhere. So if I was in Houston, I'd go for a phone.
I think the way I understood, I think that one of the takeaways from the hurricane, and now that the networks are able to go back to the Keys, you see how absolutely massive the destruction was, albeit for a small population. It's just incredible. But one of the takeaways has to be that we have to stop building cities. People have to stop living wherever they want to. If we don't have a plan for what we're going to do with warmer oceans and stronger storms, then shame on us. I don't know how the old saying goes, if you have a hurricane once, shame on you. If I build in the same area again, shame on me. But there's something like that out there. Houston was, you know, we talked to that meteorologist from Northern Illinois University, and he was really good about infrastructure. And he said, Miami is a $1 trillion disaster waiting to happen. And if it's not Houston or Miami or Charlotte or one of these places, go up the eastern seaboard, it's going to be one of them. It's going to be one of them. And then it's going to be another one of them. The world is getting warmer. The storms will get stronger. And we're just sitting there. Too many people live near the water. It's starting to make even Chicago look like a better place to live.
You know, I want to write a novel, a futuristic novel, where farmland is the new attraction.
Totally.
You know, where people now travel to resorts in Kansas to be next to wheat fields.
Fresh water, I think I'd put up there as well. I mean, Lake Michigan is not a commodity we should take for granted. It's 1:16. We'll talk to my friend Suzanne Cantra from Techlicious next. A friend of mine from Hart Schaffner Marks just walked by the Showcase studio window. Hold on a second. Hey, lady, what do you think of the suit?
Fabulous. Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful.
You should buy this company.
That's a really good idea.
Oh, wait. You did.
Made in Chicago since 1887.
Think about this. Hart Schaffner Marks suits are manufactured, sold, and shipped from a big facility, a factory in... on Toohey Avenue in Chicago. And they're having their big 75% off sale this weekend. 75% off these new suits. So they asked me to wear one in the Showcase studio. You can see me when you walk by. And you can also see me online right now at WGNradio.com. Whoop, whoop, there I am. Hello, interwebs. So I'm wearing my pretty suit today. Nice to see you again. And you'll hear more about that down the road. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Yeah, if you go to WGNRadio.com right now, not only can you see us, you always can see us, but you can see my pretty suit. It's charcoal gray with pinstripes. Thinking about retirement but don't know if you've got the resources to live the life you've dreamed of? Well, Maybe it's time to sell your business and you're not exactly sure how to handle all of those details. Maybe you're recently widowed or divorced and you are looking for someone for some financial support. Private Vista can help. At Private Vista, financial planning isn't just about the numbers. They care about what's important in your life. They've developed an evolved approach to financial planning and investment management. They answer a lot of the tough questions that some firms don't even ask. Private Vista's team of trusted advisors will work closely with you to build out your resources and align them with your life goals. They help you define your private vista, a clear view of how you want to invest your money. How about a free consultation? That's what I'd ask for. That's what Brenda and I got. They manage our money, and I'm recommending them to you. Visit MyPrivateVista.com, MyPrivateVista.com. From Techlicious, the site that helps you understand the technology in your life, Suzanne Cantor is on a phone. Hi, Suzanne. It's John Williams. How are you?
Hey, John. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise. No, wait. It's good to see my pretty suit from Hart Schaffner Marks online at WGNRadio.com. Isn't technology an amazing thing? You know, I was talking to my friend Steve Bertrand here about greatest inventions of all time. I said I would put the iPhone ahead of maybe the automobile. I'd put it up there with fire wheel and seedless watermelon. How big a deal is the smartphone, would you say? The Android or the Apple version?
It's huge. I mean, it's become an indispensable tool for everybody. You know, people would rather leave home without their wallet than leave home without their cell phone. There are all sorts of silly statistics in terms of what people would prefer to do without than their phone. So it's huge. And of course, the iPhone really popularized it for the masses. And so, you know, when Apple comes out with a new device, everybody's looking to see what they're going to do.
This 10th version, we have actually three, the 2.8s and the 10X, come on the 10th anniversary. Is that right? The iPhone has been in existence for 10 years?
Yes. It's, you know, sort of scary to think about that we've had these phones for so long, and they've come so far. You know, every year the processors get faster. They can do so much more. And they're really computers in our pockets and then enable us to be connected all the time and just change the way that we interact and communicate in our everyday lives.
What's your favorite thing you'd like to do with an iPhone? Do you have an iPhone or do you have an Android?
I have both.
Yeah, well, of course you do. Yeah. What I mean, really, maybe what I'm asking you is a question about what apps do you like or use the most. But I love the weather button. I love Google Maps. I love, you know,
yeah.
I mean, literally texting is such a part of my life. Posting pictures is such a part of my life. This thing enables that and then some.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting to look at people's home screens and see what's important in their lives, because the icons for apps that show their, you know, their passions are going to be on the home screen. So I have music and I have my workout apps and I have Google Maps and, you know, some of the other more mundane, you know, everyday life things there. But it really does touch all corners of what everybody does.
Yeah. You know, you said 10 years seems like a long time. To me, it's amazing. I don't know if this is the same or different than what you were saying, but you're telling me 11 years ago there was no iPhone? That would be like there wasn't water, you know, that it's hard to imagine a time when we weren't all, you know, carrying one of these stupid things around and addicted to it. It's 10
but
years. Like, is
when did you get yours, right? When did you first get a smartphone?
Not right away. I probably had one in my pocket for 7 years, maybe eight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were even more of an early adopter, and, you know, people, you know, came to the realization of how much these things could do for us over time. And, you know, of course, now you can't imagine not having it, but we did do without it for many, many, many years. And now we're raising a whole generation of kids who are glued to their phones. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts what we're going to be using.
Oh, yeah. It's nice that you mentioned it that way, Suzanne, because I'm not, despite all the positive, glowing things I've said, I'm not sure that the negatives, the negatives don't completely outweigh the positives, but it's not all good. There's plenty of bad wrapped up in this little thing, too. Talk to me about the new phones, the three that they've rolled mm-hmm. out. What should we be aware of? What strikes you?
So the 8 and the 8 Plus are really just the next generation of the iPhone that we've known from, you know, the 6 and the 6S and 7 and 7S. They have the same type of look. They have the large bezel at the top and the bottom, that smaller display in the center. The 8 Plus has the dual camera like the 7 Plus had. The 8 now gets optical image stabilization for the camera, which is great. So, you know, nice little changes. Wireless charging, something that's been available on Android phones for years, is coming. So, you know, lots of nice incremental changes. You're getting 2 hours more battery life, which is huge for a lot of people. I know I will appreciate that when I upgrade. But the big changes, of course, are going to be for the 10. It is the 10th anniversary, so they're trying to do something a little bit different. And so one of the biggest things is they're removing the home button, right? There's no physical button to get into your phone anymore. They're going to be using your face. There are 30,000 dots of information that they use to be able to tell that it's you, and it has depth sensing. So when you look at it, it automatically opens because it knows it's you, which is pretty, you know, they like to use the word magical, but it is pretty cool that it knows you. It will adjust over time. So if you're a guy, you're growing a beard, it will know that it's you, even if you have a big beard, you know, X number of months down the line. If you're wearing glasses, it's fine. As you age, it will know and it will adjust with you. So it will always have that kind of personal connection. So that's cool. And you can't open it unless you have your eyes open and you are saying, yes, I want to open my phone.
Really? What if I wanted you to use my phone? Do you have any idea how they get around that?
Well, you still have a PIN code. Right.
Say it again. Oh, so all right, but my impression is that it's this blank screen, a black screen. It looks like it's not activated. If I hit my home button, then it comes on. But I don't have a home button. So.
It's just different gestures.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, yeah, because it knows whether you're touching the screen.
So, okay, so it would come on. But if it sees mm-hmm. my face, now all of a sudden I have the display of all of my apps, et cetera.
Exactly. And then for anybody else, it's not going to happen. You would have to put in a passcode. And this is a safety feature that's being built into iOS 11. And if you have a device already, you're going to be able to take advantage of this as well when you can get the update on the 19th. Now it's going to be harder for people just to get into your phone. They're going to have to put a passcode in if it's connected to a computer that it doesn't know. So if you didn't want somebody to get into your phone, there's a special panic mode where you can, you know, make sure that somebody can't just get into your phone.
Do you know what the price is, Suzanne, for the 8s? So famously, the 10 is $1,000, but do you know what they're going to sell the newest version of the iPhone, the 8s, at?
They're going to be in the 600 range, just like they were last time. So you're getting, you know, it's a replacement model for the 7 Plus and the 7. They'll still obviously be in the line and they'll be discounted like they usually are. It's usually about a $100 discount for last year's model. But obviously the big sticker shock is with the 10, with the $999 price point, and then the $1,150 for the 265 gig model. So, you know, that's huge, right?
Well, it is, but I'm not offended by it. B, I don't think it's a gigantic leap considering what you're getting. I mean, if you want a Ferrari, you have to pay more than you pay for a Chevrolet. And if, to me, you're already in the dealer's showroom for $600, $1,000 is only $400 more, $399 more. So I'm certainly not offended by it, but I also know I'm not in the market for that. I'm walking around right now with the 6 with a cracked screen and scotch tape on it. So I don't always have to have the newest and the best. No, I don't always need that. That's for sure. So what do you recommend to people? Is the 8 worth the investment versus the 7? And who should get the 10 versus the 8?
Well, I mean, it's a nice upgrade. There are a number of people who are on plans that let you just trade in. So you're on this perpetual lease program. So T-Mobile and a bunch of companies have this so that you can just turn in the phone you're using now and get a new phone. T-Mobile has up to 3 phones. I'm talking about them because I happen to use their service. But you know, so there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be in that boat where you can, before you've paid off your old phone, just go in and get the new phone. So there's probably not going to be any premium you'll have to pay to swap in your 8 or your 8 Plus. And that's going to be a great option for a lot of people. You're going to get the wireless charging, the longer battery life, the better camera, you know, so lots of things in there that are worth the definitely worth the upgrade.
You know what, I got to go, but you know what sounds really appealing to me is that wireless charging.
Yes, and it's in Starbucks counters, it's in IKEA furniture, it's in cars, it's already out there. So if you upgrade, make sure you check around to see what you have available already.
Yeah. Let's talk again another day. Go to techlicious.com, techlicious.com, and find out about all things technical like this. Suzanne Cantra is the editor there. Suzanne, nice to talk to you again. Thanks for your help this afternoon.
You too. Take care.
Bottom of the seventh in that Cleveland-Detroit game. Indians are batting and winning 4-3.
Yeah, I just said that. I was giving sports reports for you now.
I heard that, but I thought in the 12 seconds that have lapsed since you reported that, I would...
I get it. It's bigger if John says it. Go ahead.
No, that's not what that was. Ball outside. I'm about to do one of those any use transmission or recreation.
I'll have to read that disclaimer because you're doing the play-by-play.
Without the express written permission of Major League Baseball.
I think it's consent.
So four pitches thrown to the first batter in the top of the bottom of the seventh.
You've done baseball before. I can hear it.
Yeah, I have not. You know, one time I used to do a little baseball or a basketball and football in my earliest days. And I will tell you that when you listen to a Dave Ennett or a John Weideman, you really appreciate their craft if you ever try and do it yourself.
Right.
Because here's what would happen to me. I would say, like say I was doing play-by-play of a basketball game. Say the Sandwich Indians were playing the Plano Reapers in a crosstown rivalry. So I would say, Bertrand has the ball, and he passes it over to number 23. And by the time I had who number 23 was, 23 had passed it along to somebody else. So I wasn't very good at it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I'll keep you posted on that. You know, I don't know why I'm so captured by this. I think it's partly Moneyball. I was watching clips from Moneyball today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was the story of the Oakland A's getting to 20 wins. Wonderful movie. And now here it is, Cleveland. Well, and, boy, they are playing good.
This is, you know, it's late summer, but these are the stories of summer. That this is the kind of things you, you remember.
Well, there's two really weird streaks in baseball. Late season like this, Cleveland obviously winning 20, and then the Dodgers losing 16 of 17, and I think 11 in a row. So it's weird to see. I mean, if you had to pick one, you'd guess L.A. would continue to win. They've been losing, and did you know that the Indians were going to be that good this year?
But do you remember? I remember when Pete Rose had his consecutive game hitting streak, and the networks, whichever network had the rights, would break in to programming every time he came up.
Yeah,
I remember being on vacation and seeing Pete Rose bat.
You're not getting that with Cleveland? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that those are kind of the formative stories of summer that happened. That's why we're following it so closely, I think.
Were you watching Cal Ripken when he tied or broke the record for consecutive games?
Same sort of thing, but that was a little more predictable.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know. We knew he was going to be in the
lineup. All he does is step on the field. He doesn't have to get a hit. So unless he slipped on a towel or, you know, on something in the training room on the way out of the dugout, he was going to play in that game.
All right. Do you want to say it, Kirk Gowdy, or should I?
Go ahead. Holy cow!
Indians scored a run in the bottom of the seventh. It's 5-3 now.
So the Indians put up another one at the bottom of the seventh. And that's not enough of a margin to make the manager comfortable. It's 5-3 here in Cleveland.
I take Sudafed for those allergies.
It's 143. I do not exactly know what Equifax is. We thought Dan Scheer, your friend, could help us out a little bit with that. From the West Coast, or from CNET, he's the West Coast executive editor. I thought it said, I thought you changed your name, Ian, to Dan. How are you? Welcome to the show.
All right. How are you? My parents decided to stick with Ian so far as I know.
Appreciate you joining us again. What does Equifax do?
So they are they basically hold all of our financial information, which is both wonderful and terrifying. So if you do a credit report, for example, let's say you apply for a home loan or for a car loan or even a credit card, They actually will go and they have the information on you about whether or not you're paid up, whether or not you pay consistently. They hold data on you going back at least 7 years. And so if you go bankrupt, that information is in your credit report.
They're a clearinghouse for financial data, huh?
Yes, essentially, right? And the scary part, of course, is that all of that is stored within this company, and so it's a big, juicy target for hackers, which is why that name's gotten in the news a lot lately.
How did this hack take place?
Well, we're still learning that part, and to be quite honest, Equifax has handled this incredibly poorly. What they announced last week was that basically one of the largest hacks ever had happened to them, where they left 143 million people vulnerable, which is, if you take out children, that's like two-thirds of the population of the country of adults. And so it's really been bad. The other worst part is that they've known about this for weeks, and they only just told us about it. And so, this is just turning into a big disaster for them. You can't even find out if you were individually hacked. Their website is terrible. And so—
Wait a minute. I thought I did that. I went to EquifaxSecurity2017.com, Equifax, F-A-X, EquifaxSecurity2017.com. I gave them the last six digits of my Social Security number and my last name. And then there on the screen, it said, based on the information provided, we believe that your personal information may have been impacted by this incident. So it sounds like I was part of the hack.
I hate to break it to you, but pretty much everyone who's tried it has gotten that same answer.
Oh, no.
So it's actually unclear whether or not it's true. And this is the thing. Like, they've just done an incredibly terrible job telling us how the details about this hack. And it's ridiculous. So now we at CNET have recommended that you assume that you were affected and that you take steps to protect yourself. What do you do? Well, there isn't that much that you can do because your Social Security number is included in this hack. So you can't go to the government and get a new Social Security number. It's not like you can go to Equifax and say, hey, why don't you give me a new credit report, because they're not going to go and do that. And so you're actually stuck in this really weird bind where the only options you have are like to freeze your credit, which means that you can't apply for a new home loan or credit card. And if you're in the middle of buying a home, you're kind of screwed. And so it's been really bad situation. And again, they have done an incredibly awful job communicating about this to the rest of the
world. Ian, what will somebody do with this information? I mean, before you answer that, so is it your estimation, though, that it is somebody or bodies in front of a computer who said, let's see if we can get into the servers of Equifax, click, 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 and they got in? An individual did this on purpose, right?
Here's another problem. We don't know anything. We don't know whether it was another government who wanted to terrify us. We don't know if it was hackers who want to steal yours and my financial information so they can just skim money from the IRS. We know nothing. So it's really hard to tell. Often these types of hacks are done by people who want to embarrass Equifax, which, congratulations, you succeeded.
Yeah.
And also terrify all of us. Again, good job, you got it. But it's really hard to tell whether or not how this is going to play out. If someone has that kind of information, again, they've got my Social Security number, my home address, they've got all my financial information. And so they could go to the IRS, for example, and file a fake report for the tax season and get money back, which is, stealing from the IRS.
I never filled out an Equifax form. I almost did today. I started to say, it said, well, we'll give you a year of free secure service now. And I started to type in my name and I thought, wait a minute. These are the people that I shouldn't.
Screwed up.
Right. So I shouldn't be doing anything with them. But I don't ever remember giving them anything to begin with.
You didn't. You didn't have a choice. This is the best part about the whole thing, is that these companies, and they're not alone, right? It's TransUnion and there's a couple others. You don't have a choice in this stuff. If they collect this information from the credit card companies and from the banks that lend to you. So by very nature of participating in capitalism in the United States, you are part of their databases whether you want to be or not. And so it's actually a really tough situation because most of us don't even know what Equifax is. It's a weird name. But it turns out that they have the keys to your entire life digitally, and it's all been stolen.
Okay.
And that's incredibly terrible.
Okay, so... should I go to their website and fill out that form and give them my Social Security number again and my address and shoe size? or what, Ian? Answer that question in a minute. Lots of phone calls and texts for you as well. We'll get to that on WGN. From CNET, the West Coast executive editor, he talks to Steve Bertrand once in a while, too, and is helping us out today, trying to figure out what this Equifax or Equifax hack is all about. So they're a warehouse. They store a lot of information about you and me financially. We never opted in, except for when we got a credit card, when we borrowed money, when we opened up an account at a bank. They have all of that information. And now maybe at least half of those accounts have been compromised, maybe more. Ian's very critical of how they've been handling it both internally and externally. By the way, a couple questions for you from our listeners. Do you mind?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's go to Lou. We'll start with you on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi, you're on the air.
Well, it's kind of a follow-up question. I went on the Credit Karma site today to see if I should get a credit report kind of thing, and they asked the same information that Equifax has that got hacked. Is it a good idea to go on there and just give them all that same information because they're going to get hacked next year?
Well, they might. That's definitely a concern. Credit Karma, and there are actually a number of these things out there that do free credit reports. Mint.com, which is owned by Intuit, who make TurboTax, they also offer a credit report. They're actually doing it by linking to Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. So they're actually pulling that information directly from them. They have set agreements with those companies to be able to give you a credit report every month. For what it's worth, if you don't want to check every month, you can go through the government. There's actually a government website that will tell you how to check your credit report every year for free. And you can do it directly from Equifax and everyone's accounts. The bottom line is that your credit report, quote unquote, is really whatever your profile information is at Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
Right.
That's all a credit report is.
Well, but then
so
what?
You're checking with these companies.
So what should somebody? What should we all do today?
So what we recommend, and by the way, we have a good list of actually exactly what you should do on CNET. I highly recommend you read it. But a lot of what we recommend is to start checking your credit regularly. And you can choose whether or not to pay someone to, quote-unquote, protect your identity if you're just not willing to go through it yourself. But you can go through the process of getting your free credit report. We have the link to the website on our site. You can freeze your credit, which, as I was mentioning earlier, means that if you're buying a house, it's going to be a lot harder and stuff like that, so a lot of people aren't going to do it. And you can set fraud alerts, which are a 90-day rolling alert that basically tells all the companies, hey, be careful, don't approve a credit card without me saying so.
But I already get a notice from my credit card company if somebody is using it fraudulently. How is this
different than that? Right, that's approving a credit card versus someone stealing it. So remember, there's a difference here. When you're working with like Chase or Amex or whomever to have your credit card, they deal with that. And then they report whatever you do to Equifax and Experian and TransUnion. What this is that when you want to get a new credit card, let's say you want to get Ian's credit card, and you decide that you are going to sign up with me, you give me your social security number and your address and all that stuff, I go to Equifax, TransUnion, Experian and say, hey, is this guy in a debtor, and does he owe a lot of money to a lot of people, and is he bad about paying his debts? And so that is the process where you're trying to freeze. You say, okay, someone applied for a credit card. I had not planned to, so this guy is obviously fake. Don't give him that credit card.
Yeah, and that would be listed there, huh?
Yes. Well, actually, if you set a fraud alert, they won't allow the credit card to be issued until you tell them it's okay.
What about this?
It's a good thing, but it's only every 90 days. You have to call up every 90 days to renew the fraud alert. So it's a really annoying thing, which is why all these these identity protection companies they're making money hand over fist because they do it for you.
What about this? On line three, I don't see a name, but
Steven,
you're on WGN. What was your question or comment?
Yes, comment. Couple of things. The most important thing you can do right now is to freeze your credit. And that can be done by calling each of the companies individually and placing, you don't have to do it every 90 days, a freeze on your credit, which means no one can open a credit card in your name or get any kind of credit, mortgage, car loan, whatever, without having you be contacted. You are supplied a PIN number if you want to reopen your own credit. So if you put a freeze on your three companies and you went to apply for a credit card, you would have to call those companies and activate your PIN and they will give you a full day.
Man, that sounds like a lot of work. Hold on a second, though. Are you concur with all of that, Ian?
Yeah, well, that is one of the things we recommend, absolutely. And we have the phone numbers on CNET, so you can find them very easily. The challenge is, as was pointed out, is that you can't, if you're in the middle of buying a home or getting a car loan, it's going to make life a lot harder. And then here's the other thing, and I hate to be a Debbie Downer about it, but Equifax's PIN system has been now criticized by security experts for not working perfectly. And so here we are again, where these companies are poorly handling this issue, they are not communicating with people, and they're creating very bad products that we are now being adversely affected by.
I have literally 30 seconds left. Do you make much of the fact that three of those executives at that company sold a lot of shares before all this went down?
You know, look, I'm not going to comment on what could be possibly a criminal investigation, but it seems very fishy, especially because Equifax knew about this for weeks before ever telling any of us.
All right, Ian, let's visit again. We'll listen for you with Steve Bertrand, too. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
But I do.
Here's John Williams.
Thank you. At 208, thanks to our two expert guests in the last hour, one about iPhones, one about Equifax.
Lord have mercy.
So here's the deal. Here's the summary of Equifax. They've got your information. There's nothing you can do about it. Have a nice day.
It was okay when they had the information.
When Equifax had it.
Yeah, but now people who broke into Equifax have it.
You know, isn't it this? Everybody has everything, essentially. It's to the point now, this happened when Target got hacked a few years ago around Christmas time. And, you know, what do you do around Christmas time? You go to Target. It's the law. So, and we were hacked, and my life did not change. I think the only thing that most of us can relate to along these lines is when your credit card is stolen. And then you get a call from the bank, and they go, you know, are you in Atlanta, and did you just buy $100 worth of something? And you say no. And then it's frozen.
It's the drag when I remember like at the Limited or that chain of stores when they had a breach, and then anyone who shopped there had to get a new credit card.
Right.
And that's the drag. Because then you got to figure out who else has your number, the automatic payments, and things like that.
Somehow or another, it would seem to me that if everybody had a chip in their skin, and then you wouldn't have to know passwords or names or numbers. It could be the most complicated, impenetrable piece of security because you didn't even know it. It was embedded into a chip that was buried under the flesh of your hand. And then whenever you needed that information, you just hold it up to some scanner, some reader on your laptop, on your iPhone, on your TV screen, on the checkout, whatever, and it would go boop, and it would sense it, and it would know it. I don't know exactly what I'm talking about here, but it seems to me like that's the kind of direction we need to be going.
Well, why can't we just do that with an iris or a fingerprint?
Yeah, how about this thing? So this new i10, it reads your face.
Okay.
And if you don't shave for a while, it notices you haven't been shaving. So even though you'll age and your hair will change on your face, it'll still recognize that that's you. It'll be your buddy. Hey, I noticed you haven't shaved. That's cool. I don't care. I'm just your phone, man. Come on in. Isn't that amazing?
I don't think that the microchip solution is a foolproof solution, though.
Why do you say that?
Because imagine getting mugged.
Right.
It'd be much, much more...
Oh, physical. They drag you to the ATM?
No. Think even more gory than that.
They'd cut your thumb off. They cut your thumb off and just take the chip with it.
Wow, and this is after she's been off a couple days.
Welcome back, Elif.
Hmm.
Now, I know that's a real flaw, but I actually don't think that's going to happen.
News alert?
No, really. Most people who are stealing your credit card information have no physical contact with you anyway.
News alert?
Let's go to Steve Bertrand, already in progress.
21.
Holy cow! Woohoo! How cool is that? So Detroit goes down at the top of the ninth without putting a run across. So 5-3, the final. And the record now stands at 21. That's the American League record for consecutive wins, and it ties the 1935 Chicago Cubs, who also won 21 in a row back in 1935. That small consolation for Cleveland that lost in 7 games the World Series to last year's Cubs, but they'll take it on their way to 2017.
You know, the way you describe it just gives me chills.
Here's some fun statistics about the streak.
It's like we're there.
Opponents. The You kind of got to get some momentum, and if you kick me off my rails. Here's some fun statistics about the streak. Opponents, stand by. The Indians have... Here's some fun statistics about the streak, Steve.
And Bertrand passes it to...
Kevin, if you just want to jump in here at any time, I say get ready for Rose Show.
Yeah.
It goes like this. The Indians have outscored their opponents 64-12 in the first three innings of those 20 games. Yeah. Wait, there's more. The winning streak includes an 11-0 stretch on the road. That's the longest winning streak for road games for Cleveland since 2001. And one other dandy little statistic for those of you watching at home, 63% of the middle relievers are lefties with wives who are righties.
I like that one. And also, here's another nugget for you, John. For only the second time in the past 21 games, the Indians did not score first in the ballgame today.
Yeah, they had Detroit's scored first every single time but one. Now they gave up a run on the top of the first in this
correct
game.
And they responded with a three-run homer in the bottom of the
and then came back with a three-run jack in the bottom of the first.
Right. Pretty wild.
Across the winning streak, the Indians have trailed for just four innings, make it five now. They've only trailed for five innings over the course of the 21 games. Let's go down to the field. Here's Steve Bertrand.
Well, John, there's a lot of excitement down here, as you can imagine. Not champagne yet, but they know that they've now tied the Cubs. Have they tied them? No, they've got one more.
Let's see. The Cubs, they've tied the Cubs. Okay. They've tied the Cubs, the 35 Cubs.
Little consolation. Oh, wait, have we already done that one? That's pretty exciting. That's very exciting.
So, so I'm watching Moneyball today. Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt and company. What a great movie. Can you turn that movie off if it's on? No, of course you can't. If Moneyball is on, you have to watch it. Okay, so here's a couple of clips. Elif, I don't know how I've labeled them in front of you, but you can probably tell me. Oh, here it is. So let's go with Bob Costas and company. Walk us through, in the movie Moneyball, the actual play-by-play of the then Oakland A's, who, starting at 16, marched to 20.
We're going to 20!
Look, have a winning streak of anything like this duration, you have to be good, but there's an element of randomness to it. The 1927 Yankees, Ruth, Gehrig, Murderers Row, some people still say the best team ever. Longest winning streak for them that year? 9.
Hope I'm not jinxing it, but the all-time record of 20 does not seem impossible anymore.
The A's were on page one of the New York Times today. They are the story in sports in this entire country.
New pitch, here it is. Swing and a miss!
You could replay these 18 games 100 times over, and nobody wins 18 straight again. I mean, it defies everything we know about baseball.
Up the middle, the A's have won 19 in a row. They're going for the all-time American League record, 20 games in a row.
We're going to 20. We're going to take the A's. We're going to 20, baby.
And they did. They won themselves 20, and the Cleveland Indians have now won 21. They were talking the other day, Saturday, on WGN Radio about, it was Dane filling in for Dean, and he was talking about great sports movies. Moneyball has to be in the top five for everybody. Kevin, you agree with me on that?
I love the movie. Yeah. Top five, I'd really have to sit down and take a look, but it's definitely up there.
Don't want to throw that out unless you've had a chance to consider it.
Exactly.
But at least it does deserve consideration.
You know, I heard you talk about it briefly earlier, how wild it is that the Indians are doing what they're doing while the Dodgers are doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I asked Chris Bryant about that after last night's game, and that's baseball for you. There's no clear-cut answer to any of this. I mean, it's just he just sort of laughed and put his hands up. He said, I can't explain it. The Dodgers were running away with everything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they hit a screeching halt. They've lost 16 of 18. They just finally snapped an 11-game losing streak last night. And meanwhile, the Indians are – reeling off 21 straight. It's just crazy. That's why I love the game.
Who would you rather be right now, the Cubs or the Dodgers?
The Cubs or the Dodgers? The Dodgers still have a pretty pretty cushioned lead in the National League. I'd probably be
If the playoffs were tomorrow, who would you rather be right now?
Oh, the Cubs. I mean, there's no like the Dodgers have some serious problems. It's not like you don't just have bad luck for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not hitting, they're not pitching, nothing. Everything that was going right for them early on in the year, it's completely flipped. It's the opposite. Guys like Cody Bellinger aren't hitting. Their pitching staff, which was dominant all year, has completely fallen apart. Kershaw barely gets them the win last night, and he's, you know, top one of the best pitchers in the history of baseball, and he's had some injuries and whatnot. So the Dodgers do not look good right now.
Yeah.
And there's some legitimate concerns. You know, if a team loses, okay, 5-6 games in a row, okay, a little bad luck, a few bad bounces here and there. When you're playing as bad as they have over for three weeks now or so, there's something up there.
You know, my theory about the Cubs not winning for 108 years, the World Series, people just go, that's just so bizarre. It's got to be a curse. It's fantastically strange. But what do you think of this theory of mine? That say you have 30 teams in Major League Baseball over that 108 years. You didn't, but just for math's sake, say there's 30 teams in baseball. And if everybody was going to take a turn, then over the course of 100 years, you'd win it maybe three times. So to me, and of course, it's not random like that. It's not evenly shared. The Yankees had more money and more history, blah, 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 maybe the Dodgers, whatever. So some teams will be a little more stacked in that direction. They've got momentum in history and the players, and they seem to keep winning, and that's how it goes. So maybe it's not so strange that the Cubs went over a century without winning the World Series, since in my mind, they only missed three turns.
Well, that's one way of thinking of it.
Well, your thoughts?
That's an interesting way of thinking. I mean, you know, the Cubs
that
have
happens.
Had... They were the Chicago Cubs. I mean, you're a major market team.
Yeah,
this isn't
that.
The Oakland Athletics,
which is which really makes that story so much more remarkable because they were doing it for so under market. That was the cool thing.
If I read correctly, if the Cubs do make the postseason this year, it'd be the first time they've made the playoffs three consecutive years since 06, 07, 08. Think about that.
Well, that's not going back that far, is it? What's so remarkable about that, too?
1906.
Oh.
Oh, I should have clarified that.
Yeah, I was thinking 2006, 07, 08.
Young whippersnapper.
I know.
Go slower for me, okay?
I thought the same thing, John.
Thank you.
Like 100 years since they've done.
By the way, if you go to Cubs.com/postseason, is it today that you can start buying tickets or tomorrow? It's today or tomorrow?
Today.
Cubs.com/postseason.
You can enter a drawing to win.
If you're watching us online at WGNradio.com, and you can always listen to us at WGNradio.com, and we stream the video as well from the studio. Of course, Roe and Steve Cochran of the Morning are on live on CLTV, but you can check us out and watch what's going on in the studio online. And today, you'll also see the Hart Schaffner Marks suit I'm wearing. They've got their big annual sale, which is coming up this weekend, Friday through Sunday. 75% off. I toured their facility the other day. They make Hart Schaffner Marks suits, not only in America, on Tui Avenue. It's this amazing facility. They're cranking them out. They said, hey, will you wear one of the suits? Wave to the people on the stream. And so I'm doing that today. And you can register to win one of these suits as well. Go to WGNradio.com/contests by this Sunday and enter to win a Hart Schaffner Marks suit, the leader in menswear since 1887. I know what you're thinking. Hey, John, that's great. But talk about macaroni and cheese. So have you seen the commercial for Aldi where what looks like two young women who maybe are roommates are talking? The one roommate has bangs and she's got a choker on and she's sitting there eating mac and cheese watching TV. She's eating the Aldi mac and cheese, which I guess is as good as the premium mac and cheese, but it's cheaper. Isn't that great? So the roommate walks in and she says, are you eating my mac and cheese? The way roommates might sometimes when you're sharing a cupboard or a refrigerator. And I didn't raise daughters, but maybe this is how young women talk to each other.
And I like this organic mac and cheese.
Is that my mac and cheese?
Is that my belt?
Is that my perfume?
Is that my bronzer?
Is that my choker?
Is that my choker?
Are those my bangs from 3 years ago?
Is that my earring in your nose?
Winning tastes so good.
You'll like them both, but love our price.
I love that commercial. Every time that comes on, I just laugh out loud. Do you love that commercial? Did you just laugh out loud?
That's very funny.
I liked it.
Is that my choker? Is that my choker?
That was me and my sister growing up.
Are those my bangs from 3 years ago?
That's a great line. Is that my earring in your nose? Again, I didn't raise daughters. I don't know what it's like. I raised sons, and my boys didn't pay. You know, they didn't bother each other. So Brendan and I got lucky. But, oh, man, that thing cracks me up. Ron, you want to join us? You're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you?
Yeah, you know, nobody's talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they had a streak going during the same time as the Indians, during a time when the Dodgers were falling. I don't know if they've won 15 out of 20 or 17 out of 20 during that same period.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this here. The Arizona Diamondbacks recently won a franchise record 13 straight games, went 98 innings without trailing. Wow.
With the Dodgers sort of falling off here, you know, they still got like a 47. They're still 47 or 48 games over 500, but nobody's talking about Arizona. And, you know, the hot team went into the playoffs. That's the team to beat.
Yeah, that's why I was asking Kevin just a second ago, who would you rather be right now, the Cubs or the Dodgers? And that may be a different answer in a month or in 3 weeks, but today I think I'd rather be the Cubs than L.A.
Yeah,
that's just my take on it.
L.A. is still 41 games over 500.
Don't you believe this, Kevin? The Cubs this year are capable of doing great in the playoffs and winning the World Series.
No question.
We are also capable of being swept in the first round.
No question. No question. I don't think
anybody, that is not fun.
I don't think anybody wants to play the Cubs in the postseason. They do not.
No.
They do not. And it's looking more – it looked like the Dodgers were a runaway for the top seed. So if the Cubs had won the Central, they'd probably end up they would play the Nationals. But it looks like Washington has a chance to overtake the number one spot in the National League with the Dodgers slumping. The Nationals just four games back of the Dodgers. So the Cubs could end up be starting in L.A. rather than Washington if they make it there.
223 on WGN.
And I like this organic mac and cheese.
Is that my mac and cheese?
Is that my belt?
Is that my perfume?
Is that my bronzer?
Is that my choker?
Is that my choker?
Are those my bangs from 3 years ago?
Is that my earring in your nose?
Winning tastes so good.
I love that commercial. Okay, I got a couple of other commercials for you. Hopefully you'll love them as much. We still haven't talked about what happened at the county board today. And I want to know what you think if you were going to vote on the sweet beverage tax in Cook County. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up or thumbs down? I was watching TV today, actually online. They were streaming the county board meeting, and the people that were speaking were just killing it. They were passionate. They were either very for or very against. One of the people who stood up was the village president for the city or the village of Worth, which I guess is in Cook County, huh? Southwest suburb. And I thought she was dynamite. She'll join us before we get done on GN. Mary, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for saying hi. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Nice job on TV today.
Thank you. Obviously, it's something that I'm very passionate about.
Why?
Well, because as the mayor of a small municipality, I have a community of approximately 10,800 residents. We are a very, you know, middle-class, blue-collar community. I have zero industry. I have zero manufacturing. And I depend on sales tax revenue so that I can provide the services that my residents need. You know, I have to provide police and fire protection and clean water to drink and streets. And so we depend on that sales tax revenue. And ever since this tax started from day one, my municipality is losing money. So in my mind, that's taking money away from my residents. And I don't think it's fair that my residents should have to pay the price when at the local level, we are so careful with our money. I mean, I would love to be able to, as the mayor of a small community, go out and, you know, repave every street in the entire village. But I know I don't have the money for that. So I have to prioritize and I have to pick and choose. And I only have so much money.
Yeah.
So my other concern, you know, our small businesses, as everybody knows, I'm sure you've had other interviews with other people at other times who complain about things like property taxes and all the other sales taxes. And, You know, I have very small businesses who are losing sales every day. And it's a struggle for them just to try and keep their doors open.
Do you have any way to put a number on it, Mary? Has anybody actually totaled up sales, taxes, sales lost, taxes lost, whatever?
Well, I wish we could at this point, but unfortunately, our information comes from the Illinois Department of Revenue, and it's usually about 4 months behind. October, I will get the numbers for May, June, July, and August.
So if I may, though, your discussion about how you're going to lose money and not be able to provide city services is anecdotal. You really don't have a hard number. You haven't had to lay off any police officers or not pave a street yet.
Not yet, but I know, you know, I've had a very active campaign where I've been reaching out to my business owners and probably more importantly, my residents. The thing that really concerns me the most is I came today to testify with 23 pages of comments from my Facebook page and copies of sales receipts where my residents, who are so angry and so fed up with Cook County, that they are now doing all of their shopping outside the Village of Worth. We're only about 10 miles from Will County and about 20 minutes from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than a gallon of gas, pretty much, round trip from the Village of Worth to 143rd and Bell Road. So I literally have residents posting, you know, copies of their receipts on my Facebook page, and then they're adding little comments like, oh, and while we were here doing all of our grocery shopping, I bought my gas, too. So that is really, really what is concerning me at this point, and that's why I felt the need to come down and testify today.
Another person who's called in, we called you, Mary Werner, who is the, you're the village president, right, of the Village of Worth in Cook
Yes.
County. Another a small business owner who just happened to call in is my friend Lou Manfredini. He runs a hardware store and does a Fix-It show here on WGN. Hi, Lou. How are you?
Hi, John. But how great is it to hear the head of the Village of Worth, the friendly village, by the way, talk about how this whole tax, which infuriates me, because it is a complete, I live in Cook County, and yeah, we run a business in Cook County, and we sell soda at our little hardware store, and I mean, it's not like this is going to be, life or death for our business, but you should hear the people that come in and they go buy a 20-ounce Pepsi, you know, these people that are working, right? Painters or a plumber that comes in to buy some little item in our store who's thirsty and he wants to buy an iced tea or even a diet soda if he wants. And then they go, wait, it's an extra 20 cents for this bottle of soda? And we're like, sorry. And it's just a complete money grab by Cook County because they're not thinking through this all. The budget's too big, Cook County's too big, and it really makes me angry when I hear the board president talk about how, oh, this is going to protect our kids and keep them healthy. It's not that.
Well,
it's for the revenue.
I don't know. I watched. I got to tell you, you know, we interviewed that one doctor who's on this too, a man and a woman who do these commercials on TV that Michael Bloomberg is paying
right.
for. So we had that woman on, the doctor, and I thought she was compelling and terrific and sincere.
So here's my question. Absolutely. I agree. I'm sure I do not disagree that obesity and all this stuff in children is a big deal. But is it just because of soda? I mean, are we that naive to think that this is the answer to all our ills? How about the donuts, the dozen donuts you bring in every Saturday morning?
Well, I guess I'm not going to bring those in anymore now.
Can I point out something that I think is extremely critical that nobody has talked about? And I think it's important. The amount of tax that this is supposed to generate is roughly $200 million. Do you know that the budget for Cook County is in the billions of dollars? So do you know this $200 million is less than 5% of their total budget for the entire year?
Okay, well, let me tell you this then, Mary and Lou, and you can both respond to this, because I'm not arguing with you. But I also know this.
Yes, you are.
Listen, I read Eric Zorn's piece a long time ago and thought, boy, he's right. This is ridiculous. It's ineffectual and it's not even fair. But if they're going to get the money some other way, you guys might not like that way even more. This is the devil you know right now.
Okay, then can you tell me why? Because there are commissioners on the Cook County Board who are obviously much more familiar and much more involved with the Cook County Board than I am, who firmly believe that what they can do is cut spending. It's less than 5% of their total budget.
Well, they're going to have to lay people off then, Mary. The vast majority of the county spending is personnel. You know, it is firefighters and
But they're holding hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of open positions that have not been filled in many cases for 4 or 5 or 6 years or more. Those are the types
that are still part of the budget.
No.
Yes, they are still part of the budget. So the question is, if those positions have not been filled for 4 or 5 or 6 years, why are they still part of the budget?
When you were testifying today before the county board, we were watching this on the computer in the office. I believe it was you, Mary, who told the story about how, and Lou, you guys can relate to this. She says, my husband's mowing the lawn or whatever. After he's working in the yard or doing whatever, he's all hot and thirsty. He likes to have a Gatorade, and I will buy him Gatorade. And now I'm looking at that thing like this is an evil, like it's a sin, like I'm doing something wrong and I have to be punished for it for a penny an ounce because my husband wants to have a Gatorade. And you didn't like, as I recall, the sort of vilification of you and your husband for having a Gatorade after he's been doing some work around the place.
Absolutely. My other concern is that I don't believe that, you know, as a grandmother, if my grandchildren want to come to my house and we do a sleepover and they want to drink, you know, Hawaiian Punch or Sunny D,
right. Yeah.
You don't have to protect my grandchildren from me. Yeah. I am not an evil person.
It's your job as a grandmother to sugar them all up and then give them back to their parents. That is in the grandparents' manual.
But really,
yes,
if
it is.
But you know, if you said I want to give my can, tell me if you guys agree with this though. Here's a real bad idea. Give your kids a bunch of Coke every day. Do you think that it is the right of a parent to make that decision? I say yes. I think that's a bad choice.
Yes.
But I think that's a parent's option.
John,
I
here
agree,
is my
100%.
I got a bunch of problems with this. First of all, when you start as a government signaling out specific parts of our economy, signaling out certain types of things, where does it start? I mean, it is reasonable to assume that if Cook County is able to do this with soda, then what will be the next thing? And the thing is, you're masking this whole health benefit besides the revenue. If it was truly a health benefit thing, and in the ads that they misreport that it's going to go towards all these programs to help kids in the hospital, it's not. The money is earmarked for the general fund, of which the general fund does fund some of the hospitals and well-being care that they do.
Okay.
But if they really believed all this, and they should have said, this money that we're going to collect on this thing, and I still don't agree with it, is going to go to exercise programs for the kids of Cook County or whatever it is. It should be earmarked, but it's not because it's earmarked for a specific thing.
Here's
now,
what gets – go ahead.
Let me finish. It's real easy for everybody to say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do this. And from the county's perspective, they need the revenue. Now, I offered a solution to a bunch of commissioners that I emailed. I said, you know what we don't have, and nobody's going to like this? Do a 2% service tax. Why don't we do that? You get a plumber to come to your house, and he charges you $90 to fix a toilet or whatever.
Yeah.
2% on the $90, or you get your house refinanced.
Oh, really? You like that, Lou? Because I got when Mr. Winkler does my taxes, I don't pay a tax on the service. You want me to pay 2% to Mr. Winkler in addition to the money that he charges me for doing my taxes?
If we are paying a sales tax and we need this revenue,
yeah.
Then what? Why? And so if we're going to tax someone, then we all need to be part of the solution, not just the people that choose to drink a Pepsi.
Okay, I want to say this, Lou. Here's one thing that's getting lost. I think we're all on the page more than you may know, but this is one thing that bothers me. It makes it sound like we don't believe the doctors who are saying that all of this sugar consumption is bad for us. It's bad for our kids. They're getting too much. It disproportionately affects the poor and minorities. All of that is true. And I don't like us sort of washing over that because that's some sort of inconvenient truth. That, I think that matters. I think we should pay attention to that.
I agree, but, okay, but you're saying it's just soda.
Right. Here's my whole point. Number one, stop calling it a soda tax. It's a beverage tax. There are over 1,000 items that are taxed. Some don't even have sugar. It is not a soda tax. And number two, why is it the government's responsibility to monitor my children, my grandchildren, my husband?
I understand that. Mary Werner is the village president of Worth in Cook County. I just looked up at my clock. I'm late for my break. I'm going to miss it. So I have to run, Mary. You've been a delight. Thanks for your time.
And thank you.
I'm sure the people in Worth appreciate you fighting for them. I appreciate you giving us some time today.
Thank you.
And thank you. And Lou Manfredini, you are in so much trouble because I'm not bringing donuts in anymore on Saturdays.
And they might tax it, John.
And Bob Ferguson is going to be mad, and Lindsay, your producer, is going to be mad, and it's all on you, sir. Thank you.
Hi, John. I know you guys were talking earlier about the whole Equifax situation. I know some people who fear that their data was breached had a sign-up date of today to sign up for that credit monitoring.
I did. Yeah,
did you? Yours today?
And?
I'm going to do credit freezing instead. And we were going to talk to some of their several options for you out there if you want to
decide
hacked?
How to... Did it say you're probably
been
hacked?
You know what's weird about the whole situation? It didn't tell you that you definitely were. It wasn't
said
definitive.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah,
and I got one of the maybes.
Me too.
I know people who got the no, you weren't, which would be comforting. That didn't happen to me. But you've got to make some moves to protect yourself.
But if you freeze it, then that... I don't want to do that. I may buy a car soon.
Then you have to have a PIN. And each time you're going to buy something or you need to get access to your credit or
you got to renew that every 90 days.
You got to renew.
That's what I need is another pain in my ass.
I know it. I know it. But you feel so vulnerable. So this just in, the CEO of Equifax has been formally invited by Congress to appear.
Is he the guy that sold a lot of his stock before this all went south?
He wasn't one of those executives that sold the $2 million in stock. He did write a big apology and an op-ed piece in the USA Today today saying this is a humbling moment. We were going to do better and said all the right things. I'm not sure I have so much confidence that Congress is going to get down to the bottom of all this, but they'll try, and they're certainly good at publicly shaming CEOs.
Here's what I also don't understand. Can we get the pimply teenagers in basements or the Russians or whoever's doing this and ask them how they do this, figure it out, and then ask them to write something that they can't,
break?
Right. It can't be that hard to come up with codes and passwords and systems that could not be tapped into.
Well, you would hope Equifax would have solicited the help of those people.
Know.
That's their job, right? To
I
protect
know.
Your data and then to offer it to creditors. That's the whole system they have in place. So more reasons
kind of
why
like
it's frustrating.
The movie Catch Me If You Can.
It is. It's
right.
Well,
that's
FBI
what they
used
did.
Him, yeah.
They used him to help
they
them
smart.
Track other
you
people.
You know what I'd like right now? Those same pimply teenagers or the geeks and the smart guys like that who should be looking at the dark web to see when these credit cards start hitting or your information starts hitting and they're trying to sell it as well.
Right, because now people will take cards out with your information and then your credit score will go down. I don't know. I talked to somebody earlier and he said, here's the bottom line. We're screwed.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, we'll be talking about that, how to protect yourself as best as you can as well. Some advice on that. We're also talking about Amazon's second headquarters potentially coming to the second city. There are a lot of options for Amazon, as you might imagine, but the economic impact of the whole thing would be huge. $1 billion a year, some economists predict, if those 50,000 jobs come here and all of the things that brings. So exciting stuff if it happens. And then we've got Lori Lightfoot, who is the city police board chair, and she's president of that, and talking about police reform and the release of the Burge curriculum that is going to be mandatory in Chicago public schools. Paul Bryan talking about the new rules about self-driving automobiles and trucks and bringing us up to speed on that. Top 5 at 5, and we've got Blackhawks tickets to give away as well.
Oh, that's nice. All right, we'll have a real good show.
Thank you, John.